Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio, Candid Frank Live, the National Lacrosse League edition. Not quite. I'm all alone. That's because never intended to do a show. We'll see if it comes up. Let's see, does it come up? Oh, there it is. There it is. Okay, so maybe I should let the guys know that I'm doing the show. They really don't know. So this could be a really short show, but I guess I can get this part off my chest. What a boring football game. God bless those Seattle Seahawks. They were just incredible. They really, really were. Amazing, in fact. They were just stupendous. I have to say they were marvelous. They were worth every second of that game. Denver, on the other hand, well, there's only one way to describe what Denver did. They didn't show up. It would have been nice if they would have shown up. But they didn't, and that's the way the cookie crumbles, as they say. So basically, Seattle Seahawks are, and I say this with a lot of, are the world champions. Okay, I get it. You know, I don't think there's anybody that can, you know, compete with them. So I guess it's a pretty fair assumption. Let's assume that that's true, that they in fact are. The Super Bowl champions are the world champions. I don't think there's anything wrong with assuming that. I guess that's one thing we can speak of quietly and with honor, because it truly is an honorable moment for football in Canada as well. Three Canadians played on the teams, and a Canadian won. The Super Bowl. So somewhere in Canada, that Super Bowl is going to find itself. And they will, in fact, be champions from here to eternity in a game that's significant, to say the least. They are incredible. The fans that are, NFL fans, there are just a lot. There are a lot of fans, and let's face it, guys. Biggest deal anywhere. Now, I wouldn't trade it for, a Canadian Football League game at all. It's more important, I guess, that we all realize that the CFL is a better league. But, the NFL, they have the hype. They have all the excitement. They have what it takes to make the world interesting. And now I don't think John knows that we're going to do the show, so I just thought I'd call John because he's a big NFL fan.
Hello.
Hello, are you asleep yet?
Am I asleep yet? No.
Yeah, no.
What's going on?
I just thought I'd call you.
Where are you calling from?
From
you are?
Blog Talk Radio, yeah.
What is it, Blog Talk Radio right now?
Yeah, right now. I called you on the air talking about the Super Bowl.
Huh. Really? Is anybody talking about this still?
Well, it has been over for only, about an hour? Well, actually, it was over after about the first play. It was an incredible game.
Really? Well, I don't know if incredible is the word, but I'll go with that, Frank. It definitely was incredible. it's one for the ages, that's for sure. I mean,
absolutely.
In the big city, in the Big Apple, and it turned definitely into a big...
Yeah, it kind of did, you know. Yeah,
kind of.
I think it did. I think so. I think you're right. I think it, you know, it wasn't one of those games that, well, it'll be memorable only because of, well, you know, because it was such a whitewash.
Oh,
disappointing,
Frank,
really.
I think it's they're gonna downplay it, but I truly believe it's an embarrassment to the league and to the NFL, plain and simple. And if anybody else doesn't see it that way, then I'm sorry. But this is supposed to be the final game of a long season with the best two teams that deserve to be there. And when you have that kind of stuff, the anticipation is to have at least a decent game, you know? This is what we wait for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks, this is what we wait for. I feel for the Denver fans. I didn't see Denver winning it anyway. I think, you know, we spoke about that earlier.
I did. I thought they had a chance to win, but it was more hoping. I can let the truth out now. My wife watches our neighbor's kid, and we talked about it. He was going to root for Denver, so I decided to jump on his bandwagon. And I don't know, is he coming tomorrow? Okay. Oh, he's coming early tomorrow. So we'll have to have an extra treat for him in the afternoon so that, you know, he can, you know, not be as disappointed as I'm sure he is. But then again, you know, he's only, what, 6, 7? How old? Oh, God, he's small for 10. You know, he picked the team because I think something to do with his dad, you know. So, yeah, so too bad. I think it was, you know, one of those things.
Can I ask you something that I assume if anybody will be listening to the show is going to be wondering? What made you do it, and why? It is Sunday night, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah. It's not going to be a long show. I was going to give the guys a chance to, you know, guys, you know, all the guys a chance to, if they're paying attention, if they care, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Give them a chance to, you know, make a historical comment here, recorded, you know. Here, hang on a second, because I got to find out who answered the phone. Hello?
Hello.
Is Manasseh there?
No, this is Aaron.
Oh, hi, Aaron.
Hey, Frank.
Hi. No, you're there, too. Is Manasseh there? That's the answer to that question. All right. So I guess Manasseh is not there. Aaron, how's it going, buddy? Did you enjoy the game?
The parts of it that I watched, yeah.
Did you watch at the beginning?
I did.
Okay, so you saw
the part safety right off the bat.
So you were watching when there was at least a chance for Denver.
I tuned in and I watched until it got to be 8-0, and I thought,
okay.
At least they'll keep it close ish, and flipped over for a few minutes.
Didn't work out that way.
Flipped back. No, it did not.
Wow, to say it's a disappointment, to say the least, it was a major disappointment. I mean, you know, I hope this isn't going back to the trend that the NFL had for years where they really couldn't put together a decent game. John, you remember those days, right?
I'm still remembering the days. I mean, we're living the days. I don't think the days have passed us yet. We have to say this. The Seattle fans are on a high. They deserve to be. Unfortunately, all of us are going to be talking about how disappointed we are in the outcome and the performance. Really, if you are a true Seattle fan, you don't see the numbers on the difference. While you see the difference, you know you slaughtered them. But you're not feeling depressed about the fact that people will look at this as the game that we won, but it was a bore. And they don't give a crap, just like any real fan that it matters to. The ones that it really doesn't matter to, like us, we're going to say that it's boring, it sucked, it was a flop, and that's just our criticism on it. And this is what I'm just generalizing things, guys, because we are doing it. But truthfully, what we're missing out here is there are a championship fan base right now that are going crazy. And
oh, absolutely.
If it was a 24-23 game, we would say what a great game, and we would be talking about the 12th man in Seattle. I think the 12th man was in New York. It definitely sounded like it. I don't know about you guys, but...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I heard the
announcers made reference to it a lot. You know, they said that it was, in fact, it was as though the 12th man had come to New York. It was very loud. It might have shocked Denver a little bit, how loud it was on Seattle's behalf.
I think so. I mean, you know, we have to remember that Peyton Manning's brother plays in the same
Eli,
stadium.
Yeah.
If you figure that he would have maybe a slight edge on a following, you know, or maybe not so. Maybe there were more Jets fans who bought Super Bowl tickets than the Giants fans decided to pick him up. So who knows? I don't know. I like the beginning. Not the game, of course. I'm talking about the actual Super Bowl event thing. I like the beginning. I think the anthems were really a nice touch, a little bit different.
Oh, yeah.
I think the halftime show, if it wasn't for the Chili Peppers, I think it would be a snooze. I'm sorry.
I love
you know,
the halftime show, the whole thing.
Not so much. I mean, I like the guy. He's
Man,
a great
performer. Bruno Mars killed it.
There you go.
There
hi,
you
Mike.
Go.
How you doing, Mike? You know, he kills it. Yeah, but is he the superstar that I want to see? I want to see another.
Oh, absolutely
I want to see another. Oh, Frank, you know, are we going to get excited about seeing him have a possible, clothing malfunction? No. We'd be looking for the excitement. Put some girl up there who's a – there's so many female – singers out there that we could hope for something.
We had one last year. We had one last year, John. We had
exactly.
Beyonce last year. Yeah. So
yeah.
Why do
you
have to be such a sexist and not give the women something to watch? Why does it always
what
have to be
about?
Half naked women?
It's all about the football game is all for the women. They're the. I mean, excuse me, guys. I believe the guys are in the tights on the field.
But
are they not?
But the football
okay.
game is not.
Okay. Let's
not
go there, Frank. You have to be a woman, okay, to understand it. My wife tells me if those were all females in their tights and all, you know, weighing 110, we'd be staring at their asses when they're bent over, just like the women are. Let's call it the way it is, guys.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
Okay, so let's not drift off. But I'm just, look, Frank, you should know by now, I just call it the way it is. All right?
Well, the way it is
I might piss some people off, and then they try to turn against me.
Well, John, you're so full of it, your eyes are brown.
Is that right? It must be. Mine are hazel, by the way, so I don't know what that means.
Hey,
so,
hey, be nice. Don't insult John.
Oh, they can't help it, Frank.
Okay. All right. So
I just think it's a shame that we're so distracted by the fact that the halftime show was a guy instead of a girl. I mean, it's a shame that the marquee event of the year, the supposed marquee event of the year, can't be more entertaining year after year. And I'm puzzled as to why there seems to be such a disparity. You know, like it.
Well, up until last year, guys. Up until last year, to disagree with both of you. Up until last year, the Super Bowls were exciting. Last year was the first one in a while that was a real toilet turner. Mike, how do you feel about it?
Man, like I said, on the shows leading up to the Grey Cup, to the Super Bowl. Seattle, man, I knew they was going to run away with it, man. I mean, their defense was just too good. The offense was clicking since the playoffs. I mean, man, they didn't lose a step or miss a beat through the whole playoffs. I mean, they was on all cylinders. So, I mean, hats off to Peyton Manning for trying his best, but Denver just didn't bring their A-game.
Oh, goodness.
That's
what
the halftime show.
And you know, Mike, they really, you know, they did not start well at all. I mean, they were not in the game at all. It almost seemed as though the 12th man got to them right off the first play. I mean, they scored points in the first 12 seconds of each half, which to me, to have a team do that once is horrible if you're the team on the other end of that, right? But to do it twice, mm-hmm. you know, once with a touchback and then with a run back, I mean, those were 9 points that shouldn't have been on the board. Now, having said that, are they the reason why you know, the game got out of hand? Do you think it got out of hand because Peyton and the team lost confidence in themselves?
Oh, yeah. they lost confidence in themselves when it was 22-0.
And when they came out, like, remember, John, you remember we talked about that game when the lights went out? Remember when the – and there was –
New Orleans?
There was a conspiracy theory that, you know, the game was getting too out of hand, and they turned the lights off on purpose. It wasn't, and I'm not saying it was. But, you know, the same thing happened in that game. It was Baltimore – it was Baltimore, right? We're ahead of San Francisco, something like that. At the end of the half, and either when they came back from the electrical break, if you will, or the second half, didn't they run back for a touchdown too? But still, San Francisco turned it into a game. And that's something that I would have expected more from Denver. And I don't know about you guys, but it seemed to me like Manning couldn't throw more than 5 or 6 yards, and accurately. And there's talk that maybe Seattle felt that he couldn't throw longer passes, and they challenged him there. And he just didn't have the arm strength.
You kind of hit it a little bit on the nail as far as what the difference were in the San Fran Baltimore match is that there were two quarterbacks there that can run. Manning is just a thrower. He's a pass player, quarterback. And once you kind of break that, and find some sort of a hole in his chemistry with the receivers and stuff, it all goes to whack. And Seattle had his number. They couldn't do anything against it. He was just off, just completely off. And, you can't turn it around after that. He can't run like, the San Fran and the Baltimore quarterbacks did, and he just couldn't make a difference if they had a game plan on his throwing. And people don't realize, guys, really that's what it comes down to with Manning. If you can shut down his arm, that's it. He chase him down, shut him down, and look what happened. They shut his arm down tonight. They had no running play. They never had a running game, really, Denver. But it's still, that was it wasn't there. But if everything else is getting shut down, usually the quarterback can run, right? And that's when it becomes desperate. He starts taking the
nowadays,
chances.
That's the new style. He's an old-fashioned quarterback,
right.
I think along with his retirement, guys, I don't think there's any other. Brady's another one. Once these guys are gone, I don't think you're ever going to have a quarterback that is not mobile, because it's so important that the kicking game a few years ago became important to the NFL, as did quarterbacks that were mobile when Warren Moon came. And I think now it's getting to the point where you have to have a mobile quarterback.
Oh, yeah, and then plus – the defense was in Manning's face all night, so he didn't even have time to get set in the pocket to throw the ball. It was in his face all night. They was rushing him. So that right there kind of helped Seattle also. Peyton couldn't get set, get his arm ready to throw the ball. Every time you look around, he's throwing the ball, he's either getting it tipped at the line or he's overthrowing because he's about to get sacked.
The green was mean. The green was mean for sure. There were some late hits too, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
There were some late hits that didn't get called. I'm not saying they were a difference maker in the game, but that's Seattle's. I referred to them like the old Oakland Raiders back in the day. You knew what you were getting when they showed up. You knew you were in a dogfight because they didn't. They don't. Seattle does not leave anything on the table.
No, they don't. And they came out like I said earlier. They came out. All cylinders, didn't miss a beat from the playoffs, and it just carried over from the playoffs to the Super Bowl. And hats off to Seattle, man.
They were full value for what they did, but
that game was lopsided. Really lopsided.
And I wanted, and John, you asked me why I felt it was important to do this, why I took the time to do this show. I know you guys are gonna. There were similarities between this game and the game that we saw in the Grey Cup. You had a quarterback that was amazing playing for Hamilton. Burris had all. Great passing quarterback going to a stadium where the fans were loud and proud of the green team, which Seattle was, and they had that same kind of support at the stadium. And in a play in the game, the center throws the ball past the quarterback. That happened at the Grey Cup. I kept thinking of the Grey Cup game when I was watching that game, guys, with the score the way it was going and how totally, manhandled the other team was. There were a lot of parallels and similarities. So for those of you that are wondering why a CFL show like ours is talking about the Super Bowl, now that's the reason. That's it. When I watched the game, the green team won, killed the other team, and the noise got to the team, I think. And there were a lot of parallels there. But I think the CFL will be that kind of game next year.
I think the reason why we're doing this right now is because as the CFL show, we'd like to just do this. As the Simpsons show would do. That's just what it comes down to. You know, we're doing this because if it was a great game, we'd say, oh, well, you know, maybe you wouldn't be so interested, but there is more to talk about when it is this is bad. This is bad, guys. That's just it. Look, the weather was superb. Remember, we talked about the weather possibly being a downer for us.
I told you not to worry about it.
Hold on a second. The weather, I'm just saying, they still were right. If the weather would have been what they predicted a week ago, it would have been a bit of a flop on the outside of the stadium.
Yeah, but John, there was no
it
point.
Didn't go, turn
there
out.
Was no. Yeah, well, there was no point to discuss. Again, if you want to go there, I said at the time, and now we can discuss how it worked out for them, because there was some question. There are a lot of people, not necessarily in this room right now, not necessarily ever been in this room, but there were a lot of people who didn't like the idea that the game was outdoors. And they felt the weather should not be a factor in the Super Bowl. Well, I don't think, first of all, the weather was a factor. I don't think the event was hampered at all by the weather. In fact, the funniest thing I heard during the show, the game, was that it was colder in both Seattle and Denver at the time. So, you know, it was better conditions there. And I think it was as exciting. The stadium was full. I don't know how many people lost money on buying tickets that they were hoping to scalp, but you know.
Oh! Speaking of people,
go ahead.
Two Argo lifers. Liam Howell went down to the game.
We'll talk to them when they get back.
Isn't that awesome? I mean,
yes.
That's super. That's great to see. I saw the seats that they had and stuff and. So, I mean, and of all things, Liam is a big Seahawks fan, so he's on cloud nine. I want to be adopted by Bill Howell. I just want to make that official right now. Okay,
well,
Bill?
I said the same thing. And then he threw out who he wanted to be
adopted.
I
asked him first, Frank. I asked him when I met him. You just met him recently. I'm still asking every year. So just putting it out there, Bill. You need a sixth child, an older child, I'm here. I'll go.
I'm right.
That's
here
all I wanted to say. They had a great time, looks like it. I mean, who wouldn't, right? So
it was a lot better for them in the stands at that game than it was at the Grey Cup where they went as well. The weather was a lot more conducive to having a good time.
Yep. Can we all say that the Super Bowl being outside this year was a great success? Cause,
I think it was.
A lot of people said it wasn't going to go because of the weather, but for every two that didn't go, there was 10 people that went.
And Mike, so, you know what my thing is about it? You're right, Mike. And my thing about it is that it's not that I don't like the games being played in New Orleans or in L.A. or in other, you know, indoor stadiums, but most of the stadiums are outdoor, and a lot of the stadiums in the general area of the Eastern Seaboard don't get the game. And as I said before the Super Bowl, to have it in New York is a big deal, in my opinion. It's a great place to have it.
Guys, I have to fill you in on something, okay? The NFL does have a rule when it comes to playing conditions, weather conditions, in an NFL environment. They have a rule that if it's a certain amount of degrees in that kind of an environment, they will not host it there. This time around, it was lifted for New York, a one-time lift. Since 1939 or whatever, when they were, created the NFL, this is just a one-time deal where Goodell he ended up lifting it for New York. I think it's 50 degrees. It has to be about 50 or something like that. They won't play anywhere below 50. So unless you guys were aware of that when we were talking about it last week, I'm just telling you, that's the reason why the weather thing was such a big item in New York, and it was all over ESPN and stuff like that, because people were discouraged from coming when they heard the weather. And then it picked up, you know. So
yeah,
the best part
John,
about...
But John,
let me just explain this. Let me explain this. The best part about the weather situation that they got initially a week ago, the bad news, is that the real diehard fans who end up showing up hoping to get tickets got tickets. For example, Bill and Liam and others who went down and just were hoping, because all the rich folk who last week changed their plans because, you know, they planned way ahead to get their jets there and all that stuff, they decided to cancel because they thought, oh, it's going to be freezing. I don't want to go there. So, but, you know, there are factors to it, guys. If you've been around the environment, you'll see why this thing was a big deal last week with the weather. Now it turned out perfect, and the real fans got to show up, and maybe that's the reason why there was more noise. Just saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Well, you know what? But with this Super Bowl being a success, don't think they're not going to
revisit.
Talk about having another one outside and revisit this whole scenario because the NFL takes a look at the CFL. Like I mentioned last show, you know, they figured, hey, if the CFL guys can play great cups outside in zero below weather.
And nobody complains about it.
And nobody complains about how come these million-dollar athletes can't do the same thing? They're getting paid millions. So throw their behinds outside. Let them play. They're getting paid for it.
It's not like they should be surprised, Mike. It's not like they should be surprised.
They
have the Green Bay. They have the Green Bay Packers in their league.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
Green Bay Packers.
I mean,
the Jets. New
the Bears.
England. Come on now.
The Bears.
The Bears. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of reason to play the game outside. And in fact, John, we've been talking here about the stadium that may be refabricated. Well, will be refabricated to support football with soccer, and it's going to be outside. And Toronto's not any better than New York City. And are you telling me then, or I guess you're saying what the rules say, but are you telling me, let me put it a different way. Are you telling me people, smart-thinking people are going to say, yeah, you know what, the weather in Toronto's not so good. Let's not have the Super Bowl there because or the Grey Cup because of the weather.
Don't compare the CFL fans to the NFL fans when it comes to the weather stuff. Don't even
I don't
go
think
there,
they're
fans.
Any different. I don't think they're
That's
any different.
That's a no. Come on. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
You sound like a rookie to me then, Frank. You definitely sound like a rookie when you say something like that.
John,
you're insulting
John,
the rest of
John,
us. No, don't back out on that
John,
one. Because
John, now you're
what?
Insulting me. You didn't need to refer to me as a rookie. I know a little more than you're giving me credit for.
When you're comparing CFL fan weather fans compared to NFL fans, you're a rookie, buddy. Because I'll tell you this much. I've met a lot of CFL fans over the years who would never stay away from a game because of the weather. Okay? But that's all we heard last week.
Just
because of CFL, now us NFL guys do not stay away from games because of the weather either.
That's
Mike,
all I'm
you're
saying.
One, you're special because all I heard last week on the news in
John,
the States.
Green Bay is full. John, Green Bay is full, and they're even worse than we
what?
Are. They take off their shirts. They take off their shirts in 20 below.
Exceptional Green Bay.
Green Bay
exceptional Green Bay. Exceptional Chicago.
Well,
and that's
John,
the only other place they can have the Super Bowl.
Wait. Hold up.
What?
Yeah, Green Bay.
New England.
Chicago.
Philadelphia.
Hold up. New England. Philadelphia. Baltimore.
Minnesota.
Aren't we indoors in Minnesota, guys? We're indoors in Minnesota, and we're also indoors in Detroit. That's the other place they had this the Super Bowl. They're not going to go again doing this. This was a New York thing, a doubleheader, and that's.
Well,
I don't think.
I know I'm not, and I don't think Mike is saying that we're going to go back to New York next year. What I'm saying is, and I hope what Mike's saying is, they'll be in the rotation. If you will.
Yeah,
what's
the other size stadium outside? First of all, they're going to go south for probably the next two, three
Dallas?
Years. Maybe in four
Dallas?
Years back.
Dallas?
As far as
now,
what?
We did Dallas, two years ago, so Dallas had it 2 years
and
ago.
And the way the weather is now, John, let's be honest, John. Let's be honest here, okay? As far as the weather's concerned in New York, this year, New York has been warmer than Dallas and has gotten less snow than Dallas. Dallas and the South has been getting impacted with snow, John, like they never have before. So the reality of it is that you can't, just like when you were talking about the weather being a giant concern, I told you then and I'm telling you now, it doesn't get reviewed until it's done.
I'm a little bit of a weather nut, so I can tell you that in the past 9 years, we've been on a trend on summer-ish in the southern states or even in the northern parts of the states that has been summer. Ish, 50 degrees plus days, and maybe a little cold air here in the last 9 years. So we have a freak winter this year. Okay, we have a freak winter. Everybody's freaking out. Let's not go. Out of nine.
No. Every year, John. Every year, I as far as I can recall, every year we don't behave. Okay, let me try it this way to you. In the United States, in Southern Carolina, South Carolina, or in North Carolina, or in Georgia, they get an inch or two of snow. It's like us getting 2 feet. Let's be honest. They can't handle the snow. The people aren't used to the cold there. Like right now, here in Toronto, it's -3. I was outside in my T-shirt cleaning snow. This morning, I stood out to talk to my neighbor, and I had no shirt on. I'm just trying to tell you something. If the human body, when it's accustomed to something, it adjusts. People in Green Bay, when it's 20 below, to them it's 20 below. People in Saskatchewan, it's 20 below, but to them it's not like 20 below to us. 20 below
how
to
about
us
two
is
things.
A lot.
I get
more
it, Frank. I get it. How about two things? Okay, first of all, I didn't mean to call you a rookie in that sense, but when you start comparing CFL weather fans to the NFL,
I don't even
like to have it in the same sentence because it's not fair to the CFL hardcore Great Cup attendees who all go out there. So I don't even want them compared to us in the same sentence.
No.
The fans in each league is no different, John. The fans in each league is no different.
Mike, pardon me. You'd have to come with me for the last 20 years at least. I'll even go 30.
What I'm saying
is the
NFL
Great Cup
fans.
And I've been around the Super Bowl environment and the guys down there, and I'm going to tell you from a business point of view. Hey, listen, from a business point of view, if I'm a businessman, I'd want a nice weathery environment so I can get more people on the streets, more people coming out, rather than having the weather and the cold even being an issue.
But John, you don't need to be so cut and dried. Compare the CFL and NFL fans as if, you know, it's one or the other. I agree with you that historically CFL fans have done far more in putting up with terrible weather than the NFL has. Absolutely true. But we're talking about the Super Bowl and the Grey Cup. The Grey Cup. What I'm saying to you is, and we're getting a little bit off topic as far as I understand what you're saying about what you're talking about. Historically, Grey Cups have been played outside. Cold weather doesn't matter. Yes, our fans have been through more weather-wise. Absolutely, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. But what I'm trying to say is that NFL fans can put up with a lot more bad weather than they're being given credit for. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to say that the hardcore fans, the real fans.
I'm talking about Super Bowl fans. Look, you guys don't get it. The people who were at least 60% of those people in there are above 100,000 salary cap, unless these people are saved all their lives. Because you just don't get opportunities to buy a $1,500 ticket. I'm just trying to make it clear to you. It's a different core. There's only about 30% of the real fans in there. And this game here, because of the bad weather forecast last week, at least 40% were real fans this time, because the 10% that usually would never get a ticket outside.
CFL fans, John? Were they CFL fans that were there? Were they CFL fans?
Yeah, the lucky ones who end up CFL fans who never got a ticket, until they got it last week from a great wife that he has, who bought it for her.
That's one.
Barbara's great.
I get that.
The only way it was possible is because the bad weather forecast made a lot of tickets available and the brokers dropped their prices. So they snapped the tickets. I'm just saying it the way it is. I don't know why everybody's getting so defensive saying it's a great idea. Business-wise, it's not.
I'm not getting defensive. The one doing most of the talking, you are. I repeat what I said. All I said was NFL fans haven't been given the same kind of chance CFL fans to rise to the occasion of showing up at an outdoor game in their championship game.
Do you know why, Frank? Again, I'm trying to say it's about the money. The money is not there in outdoor games, guys. I like outdoor games. Get it off your head that I'm against them. I like outdoor games. I'm a CFL fan. But the NFL won't do it. The NFL won't do it. I'll bet on it.
Let's see. Let's wait. Let's wait to see what the numbers bring up as far as the ratings and the fans.
The numbers will be fine because the numbers will be fine. The weather was great the last 3 days.
We cannot say that the NFL would never do another Super Bowl outdoors again. We cannot never say that.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
We cannot never say that.
You watch the NFL channel?
You can put a Super Bowl, man.
All the broadcasters on the NFL channel are, Mike, all the broadcasters on the NFL channel are saying they're never going to do this again.
Listen, they can say that broadcasters can say what they want to say.
That's because they're tuned in.
Hold up. The person that has the final say is the dude named Roger Goodell, not the broadcasters.
They're former players or former coaches. I think they have a lot more connection, insight to Goodell's offers than any one of us do. And if they come and feed their information, that's why they like to talk about things that they hear from internally from the offices, like I like to throw out there sometimes. And that's what you go on the air for.
Leave it there for a second, John. We can still have the same discussion, but let's branch out to the different effects that have, let's be a little more wide open here instead of narrowly talking about the weather. The other thing you need to talk about and you need to consider if Goodell's going to decide to do this game outdoors, this was the worst possible scenario for the NFL as far as fan interest is concerned. Because those same business guys you're talking about, John, they want to see New York play Dallas. They want to see Chicago play San Francisco. They want the big centers to be involved in the game, and that's what helps generate the attendance at the games. Because quite frankly, the Seattle fans are the best fans in the world, but there aren't as many of them as there are New York fans or Dallas fans, or they have a greater following. And the league had two of the least followings that they could have in Denver and Seattle. That's not to disrespect those fans, because those fans deserve a lot of credit, and God bless them. They're fantastic. But when it comes to what you're talking about, what the business really cares about is cha-ching. They don't care what temperature it is.
Uh-huh.
They want to know how much change is going through the turnstiles. That's what they want to know, whether it be on television, whether it be commercial time that guys are paying for. Because remember, the commercial time is based on this year's numbers. Next year, you could have a better turnout and more interest, but the commercial time is dictated by the previous season. That's how it works. That's how it works in the Grey Cup. That's how it works in the Stanley Cup. That's how it works.
The numbers and attendance as far as viewership are not going to be as pleasant as you guys think will be. The beginning of the game, perhaps.
No, like I just said, John.
Even if it was two crappy teams.
You just put words in my mouth. You're being very disrespectful. You just put words in my mouth. I'm just telling you, I never said the numbers would be low or high.
You said it either, Frank. I never said you said that.
Okay.
I'm saying it.
You need to play it back. You have to be a little more respectful and not put words in my mouth, please.
Oh, my God. Okay, now who's jumping on who? Okay, then how about we do this? I apologize, Frank, if you misunderstood me. I'm saying it. Never did I mention you said it. I'm saying the numbers are not going to be as good on ratings because people tuned out.
You said somebody else, too, not just me. You said two of us.
Frank, again, let's begin again here. The numbers are not going to be good on it.
Make your point from your perspective using your opinion. Don't throw my opinion into the equation because I can speak for myself. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I understand that.
Okay. And if you want me to...
Where did this go wrong?
John,
I don't understand what you're doing. I didn't say anything about you, and then you're saying I did. Now this is getting a little bit tiring, Frank. I picked the phone up. I was about to go to bed, and now you're jumping on me. Like I just said, I never accused you of saying anything.
I don't want to listen to it anymore. All right.
I was going to say we're going to have to roll tape on this one.
Well, he's got to listen to it because I could have swore. Am I right or am I wrong? Did he start saying that? Did he start his comment by saying what you guys said? And I said nothing about what he accused me of. I never said that. I never made that point. I just want to discuss the game in the sense that, what we did. What did we do? What did we do today? We watched an NFL game. We watched a unique NFL game that included a live audience under the weather conditions, right?
Uh-huh.
And how was it? How was it? Was it awful?
Nope.
I thought I thought it looked absolutely great. They were saying that it was actually relatively warm inside the stadium, which is kind of cool. I mean, when you think about it, snow outside the stadium, ice, crappy weather conditions, and yet somehow inside the stadium they managed to keep it warm enough that you can play a decent game of football. That's pretty special.
Yeah.
And I think you may actually be looking at New York as a test market. If something like this works there, it can work at other stadiums, weather permitting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. And the thing about it is if some of these teams, like Philadelphia, some of these stadiums in Philadelphia, New England, Pittsburgh can play when it's dang near a whiteout while they're playing on NFL Sunday and sell out, what makes you think they wouldn't fly to the Super Bowl because it's cold?
Now, absolutely. John was mentioning the fact that there were rules about they wouldn't play a Super Bowl if it was under a certain temperature. I'd be interested in trying to find that.
Well, the reason that probably took place is because that's what they thought was what they should do. That was their plan at the time. And Mike, I agree with you. You never know. Things can change. I mean, the NFL, as you said, even if they're not like John, what John said is 100% right. CFL fans are fantastic. I mean, I think people who listen to this show understand that we all agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So what we're talking about now is the NFL growing up, and that's the point at why I wanted to do the show, is the NFL now getting an opportunity, as they've done throughout the years under Goodell and other great leaders that they've had. They've gone from a low-scoring team with quarterbacks that stood in the pocket to now they have quarterbacks that run around like crazy like they did in the CFL. The kicking game became important recently as well. And now their kickers are just incredible, where the kickers in the CFL were far better at one point. Now the best kickers are playing in the NFL. And that doesn't mean that we don't have great kickers. We do. And the NFL keeps changing, right? Haven't you noticed change in the NFL over the past 10, 15, 20 years?
Oh, yeah. High-scoring games.
What's to stop them from changing to a more CFL-like league that appreciates that fans won't melt if they're outside?
Well, you know what, Frank? Like you said, the NFL is changing. I mean, because in the next couple of years, they're going to be expanding the size of the field. Come on. Because everybody knows NFL field is kind of small. I mean, you have no room to work. I mean, you're basically crunched in, if you ask me.
I think Seattle proved that today, didn't they? Seattle proved didn't they?
Yeah, they're going to improve expand the size of the field and the end zones. And the players and the coaches are taking more of a CFL freestyle football playbook. I mean, you got guys, quarterback that's rushing for 100 yards, scores are up there, CFL scores. I mean, because you never see a CFL game that's 14-3 or 21-10. I mean, scores are up there, 30-40 range. I mean, the NFL is having a more balance of offense to put high scores on the board now.
Scoring counts. Scoring is important, right?
Scoring is very important.
Now, according to NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy, there isn't actually a set lower limit to where weather will be so cold that they've determined it's too cold to play. Now, this is something that was actually posted back on January 3rd of this year, and that was after Sunday's game at Green Bay when it was minus 20 Fahrenheit. So, I mean, you guys remember the Ice Bowl. The game time temperature there was below zero, but lower limit.
Yes.
So they haven't
what John was talking about was the Super Bowl cannot be played in a climate that averages at whatever time of year that the game's played at a certain temperature, and lower than that is not acceptable, which I'm not doubting what he said. I'm not doubting what he said. But I want to see what happens after this event. You know, and I remember we talked, guys, that they do this one, right? And then the next time they'll learn – if they think that anything that went wrong this time can be fixed, Mike's 100% right. They'll come back to New York.
Mm-hmm. They'll come back to New York. And if they're going to do it in New York, believe me, they'd do it in Foxborough too.
Yeah, well, what's going to happen is like what happened with the outdoor hockey, which, Mike, you might not be aware of. And, Aaron, I'm not sure how well-versed you are on the outdoor hockey games that the NHL does. I mean, the first game was played 20 below in Edmonton with Montreal playing against them. And all of a sudden, everybody wanted to do an outdoor game. Why? Because it's a big deal, right? And you can't tell me the Super Bowl is not a big deal. You can't tell me the Super Bowl is not a big deal. And you can't tell me that, New England might not, I wouldn't see New England not saying, hey, how about having the game here? I think New York proved that it can be done. What's the big deal?
Come on, that's Robert Kraft. Come on now. You can get it done.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, football's a game, and it's played in front of people. And those people, if they're interested, I think it was proven, and to John's point, he's 100% right. I mean, look, there were enough people who decided not to go, a big number, as he said. But the way I look at it is, well, definitely, there were more than enough people to take those tickets and go to the game. So the interest is there, whether it's outdoors or not.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. It is what it is. Enjoy the game. Okay. I think John's coming back now. Let's see. He's coming back.
Oh, was I off?
Oh, please, like you didn't know.
Sorry. I'm
John,
apologize.
Yeah, listen. Okay, I want to make a public
waiting for you to ask me a question.
Okay,
you're
all right,
asking
all right.
Mike. No.
All right. Yeah. All right. Now, that's why I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question now. So
I think we're gonna bring John back in. I'm going. What was I supposed to say? Something? Thanks, Frank. You're giving me a good
one.
There.
You're welcome.
I was gonna say something when everything was done and said with about the weather, about what Mike said about what did you say about expanding the field?
The NFL is
an ever-changing, under Goodell, it's been an ever-changing league. It has made changes.
Mike, sorry, man. I'm sorry, but you're telling me they're going to take out seats?
That's not what he's
saying. Well, how do you make a stadium bigger? I mean, these things are already crunch time. You're already running into the walls 2 feet out of the end zone in some places, so...
air out what you're saying. Be more clear, because obviously John doesn't understand.
I heard longer. Sorry, I didn't understand. I heard longer.
Oh, no, whatever he said. Let's let him go ahead, Mike. What do you mean by making the stadium larger?
Expanding the field a little wider than, I think maybe about a good, I think it's maybe 2 feet on each side.
They're
going to expand it a little wider.
Yeah, in Dallas, in Baltimore, probably not. In Philly, probably not. In Tampa, in Oakland,
You can expand the NFL fields. I mean, because half of the stuff is basically the seats and the boards. Take out a couple of screws and push them back. I mean, you can expand it.
If they were to expand it like about 5 yards, how much wider is now? I feel bad now. I don't remember how much wider the CFL field is than the NFL field. It's like what, 7 yards on each side, 14 yards, something like that, 10 to 14 yards?
It's like 110 yards long, 65 yards wide.
Okay. And the NFL field?
NFL field is 100 yards.
Aaron, I don't hear your
keyboard.
And
100 yards, I think it's 50 yards wide, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
so it's 10 yards.
Yep.
And that would be 5 yards on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, You know,
so does that mean that we'll avoid occurrences like the San Francisco 49er trying to low bridge the Seattle Seahawk guy that got pushed out of bounds? Or do you think that's still going to happen?
Well, it'll always happen. But, you know, the suspension and the fines will try to preclude that kind of behavior. It's important that we understand that the NFL field needs to be wider for the same reason in sports that even hockey's becoming like that, because those fields were designed for a certain size man.
That's
you
right.
Know?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's why it's not going to be done. The formula in the NFL is big linemen. Don't make them run too far sideways. Just make them go forward and back. So I don't know. I don't know about that.
They just have to wait and see if they're going to do it. You know.
Yeah, I get you,
like
Mike. I mean,
John, do you think you were saying that because I'm not going to pretend to know more than you about this because I know nothing about this. If I were to, I wouldn't know the stadiums as well as you do as far as what kind of extra space they have, especially considering all these stadiums. Their objective is to put the fans as close as possible to the game.
Bingo.
But I don't think they want to make the fields wider so that they're in the game.
Well, as it stands now, though, current NFL rules for sidelines state that there's to be a 6-yard white border, a 6-yard coaches only zone, and the players' benches have to be at least 30 yards from the sideline.
What?
Yeah. If you look
and
at the field dimension rules on the official NFL rule book, it says
that the
benches actually have to be 30 yards from the sideline.
Are you kidding me? It doesn't seem
like
that.
Serious.
Wow. You guys, does it seem like
it's
that to you, John?
It's got initial white border, right? That thick white border around the field. In places where the stadium is too narrow, it has to be a minimum of 4 inches wide. Then there's a 6-yard exclusionary zone, which is only supposed to be a coach, and that's it. Everybody else has to be at least 12 yards. And then from 12 to 18 yards out from there is where the benches have to be. So the benches are actually technically supposed to be at least 90 feet from the field. So,
John. Aaron, you're confusing me. When adding or starting always from the same...
When you start from the sidelines.
Right, you get 5 yards
from
the sidelines, the white zone, right?
Yeah.
Then you go
and then
back
after that,
it's
supposed to be another 5 yards that is supposed to be one coach and next substitutes only.
And that adds up to 10 yards, right?
Yeah, and then another 20 yards behind that is where the bench is supposed to be.
No. This is where I think you – are you sure you're right about that? Are you sure it's not starting again from the sidelines? So you got if I can use this term, you have a border at 5 yards. You have a border at 10 yards. And then I think you have a border not 20 yards after that, but actually at 20 yards for the players.
No, the rules actually state 30 yards.
Wow.
Yeah.
John, they got plenty of room to widen the field. If that's the case.
Yes, they do.
If that's the case, they got plenty of room to move. Because we're only talking about 5 yards.
I saw the low bridge, I wanted to check into that because I thought that player's too close to the field. No, the player's, 12 yards out, 10 yards out, that's perfectly fine.
Aaron, you might be reading it right in front of you, but visually I'm looking at the field right now, and that border between the field, the white border where the Pittsburgh coach stepped onto when that, remember that play?
Yeah, that's the one that Mike was referring to.
That border is not more than 3 yards, if that, or 2 yards, I should say. It doesn't look like more than 2 yards. I mean, 5 yards back, you know how far back that would be from the coach? They wouldn't even be able to.
That's what I don't understand.
It doesn't make sense. The numbers don't make sense. I mean, there are borders. He's right about those things, and there are
okay, so how many sections are there? There's three, right?
Yeah.
You sure it doesn't say meters?
Okay, John, let's try this.
John, that's being ridiculous because meters are longer than yards. Hello, craniorectal inversion. Pull it out, son.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is 12 midnight and I'm in bed. Yeah, okay. I was trying to make it funny. Thanks for ruining the punchline.
It was funny.
I
thought it was funny.
Someone's too serious here.
I thought it was funny. No. But you know what? We're let's get to the point then. So all I'm trying to say is what I want to get in is that if they're to make if the field is only 10 yards wider in the CFL, then if all they had to do was take a yard and a half from each, or a yard from the 5, make it 4, a yard from the 10 make it 8. Then 3 yards out of that, how many yards did you say, 20?
Yeah, it looks like a 20-yard exclusionary
area. So you make, instead
of
20, you make it 17. Guess what? You got your extra 10 yards.
But tell you what, guys, mm-hmm. why do you think they had those rules with those numbers? I think it was because of extensive research on what safety boundaries are good for the people who do not wear equipment, the trainers, the ball water boys, the guy who pulls the cable. All these things have to come into the equation when they make these safety
boundaries.
Yeah, you're
right about that. Absolutely. But then again, John, being, and I'll throw my humor into it, I think the NFL did that and made those because they knew they might be switching to a wider field. They were just
well,
waiting.
That's a good dream. That's a good line
and,
for
and
Mike
you know
here.
Well, I think they're smart enough to know that they need to keep their options open. You know, the National Hockey League blew it when they demanded that all the teams have you know, the size rinks that they have, when some wanted to go Olympic size, and I believe they should have gone Olympic size. Now everybody's saying they should have gone Olympic size. Well, that's because sometimes foresight's a lot harder to come up with than making rash decisions. So regardless, if the NFL goes wider, John, those extra 10 yards for defenses make things a lot tougher, because I've seen running backs and interceptions and pass receptions where a guy's running along the sideline and he has another 5 yards. You know, if he can make that much room for himself on that field, then he's got an extra 5 yards. And I think that'll bode well for the league. And I agree with Mike that offense and you know, where offense at least, you know, has a chance to participate in the game. And I think today's game was a perfect example of why offenses need to be better, because the defense.
Can you guys think of one reason what irks you about a game? And I just want to give you an idea of what I'm talking about.
Okay.
The NFL game in itself. And then I'm going to compare why I even like the comparison here with the CFL. The CFL, you know, stops the clock to reset. There is so much time wasted setting up. There's no, you know, I believe that when the clock is running, you are playing. You're not having the ball boy move the chain and all that stuff. So I just don't get it. On a running play, yes. But on, you know, when they mark the first downs, like in college they do it, they stop the clock. It's not part of the game. You're not playing anything. So why is the game being ticked down? And it pisses me off all the time. And if you like to play pro line and stuff, that irks you, especially when you need an over, you know, so you want more time in the game. And it's just being drained, and we're getting ripped off. You know, they say there's a certain amount of time to play in a game. BS, it's not 15 minutes. You know, when you look at the actual physical playing time, maybe about 7 or 8 minutes, half of that time is the actual physical. The rest is moving the ball, the chain. I mean, That was,
you know, it's funny. That was the point that was being made as to why, you know, we were talking about comparing sports like lacrosse and football, and that was the point that was being made there, where, you know, during a lacrosse game, you're actually playing the amount of time that it says. There is no, you know, the clock isn't moving. There's stop time. Where in football, there is the possibility of no stop time. You can go and the time won't stop. You can, like they did today, the end of the game there. And in fact, Denver was more than willing to run the clock and run the ball so that, right? And so,
yeah.
You know, yeah, you're right, John. That's an irritation.
Bugs me.
That's an irritation.
How about this comparison?
Absolutely.
Let me throw the people out there who don't really get it, or maybe bigger hockey fans and don't. It's like, if the puck goes in the stands, the clock keeps ticking. When the referee's about to drop the puck for a face-off, no, the clock would have been still ticking. Why are we rewarding the referees with time? That's what I don't get about the NFL. Why they do that? There's got to be some. If they're gonna make it exciting, let's get rid of that. Let's do like they do in college in the CFL. You know, if there's a first down, stop the clock, set it up. You know, and then start it up again when everybody's ready to go. What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, man, I feel the same way you do about the clock, man. It is irritating.
It kills me. I, you know, now we're talking about what bad points of the game. that kind of bothered me, because when you think about it, if they'd had that formula, maybe there would be more time in the game to get a comeback. You know what I mean?
And the fair catch. I don't like that. You want mine. I don't like the fair catch.
Another one. Good. That's another good one. The fair catch. What the CFL did by allowing the play to be active, by giving the guy a five-yard dimension that he's got to be at least, you know, that much space between him and the defenders coming at him, is a great idea. It keeps the play live, and it gives the opportunity for some sort of a point to happen, maybe with a fumble or something, rather than just waving your hand and calling it dead. You know, those are simple things they can fix to rectify.
Aaron, what do you got? What do you got? You got something?
Well, I was just wondering, John. What you're proposing is basically stop time, correct?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, basically.
How long is the average play in football?
From the setup point or
seconds.
When?
Seconds.
Yeah, how many seconds is it between snap to grounded ball?
You know, an interception return from your own end zone or a kickoff from your own end zone, it's only about 8, 9, 10 seconds.
Well, first of all,
you got guys that can run a 40 in 5 seconds.
It's like 34 seconds or 35. I can't remember the exact number, but I know the CF only has 24, and it makes the.
Well, let's put it this
John,
way.
I'm not
let's
talking about
this way,
the
John.
Clock. I'm talking about
twice
the actual
today,
amount of time from snap until whistle.
We have a perfect example, Aaron. You have a perfect example today. Twice, a two point. A touchback, 12 seconds. A kickoff run back, 12 seconds.
So if you stop the clock after every single play, and it's a three-hour game, and let's say
not
the average
play
is 12
no,
seconds.
No, not every play. Remember, I didn't say nothing about the running game. I just said about when they set up after a first down.
Okay.
You know, when there's a first down set up, the chains have to be moved. So why is the clock running while the guy's in the
but
side?
But that's what Aaron's saying. That's what Aaron's saying is that is
no,
that
Aaron's
you have
saying
a play.
That you stop the clock after every play, you know, or whatever.
Right.
No, that's not.
Right.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That'd be crazy.
Oh.
That'd be ludicrous.
Oh.
I'm just saying, when you have a first down. Listen, if there's a running play, the clock keeps going.
Okay.
Yes.
So how is
if the next play?
Time?
Let me play it out. If the
okay.
next play is a throw and you only get 3 yards and you're still short another, you know, 7 yards, then the clock keeps running. But on your third down, if you get the first down, stop the clock. But they don't. They keep it running.
Oh, okay. So you're talking specifically about it's clear. At a
yeah.
first down, the clock shouldn't be running. You know, and it runs because especially and then you got if it's a reception, the clock runs. That's
right.
Okay. But if it's a reception that creates a first down, then the clock should stop, and you
stop.
Restart the clock. That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Because
I like
remember,
that.
the guys, the chains, when the chain guys move over, the refs won't let them start or even snap the ball to even spike it until the chains are set to go. So that's a key
but
factor.
But the clock keeps running.
Right.
Yeah, so the,
now,
so
here's,
the
here's another
running.
Question, and this is just showing my lack of knowledge here. If a player runs the ball out of bounds for a first down, does the clock stop?
Yes.
Okay.
It's out of bounds, so it always stops.
So if the person runs it out after getting their 10 yards, after getting the first down, then the play's going to stop then start up again. But if they get downed while in the field of play, then the clock keeps running.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And John's saying that if it's a first down, then the clock
should stop
running.
And then
you could give the defensive team and the offensive team an opportunity to set up, which I'm not sure that's what they want. You know,
well,
you know what I mean?
The
like
CFL,
I know.
Don't realize it. You know,
but I'm referring
and
to
it
the
works.
NFL now.
Yeah,
yeah it
works.
Definitely does work. It definitely does
yeah.
work. And you know what? If in the NFL, if you did stop time, then instead of having 15-minute quarters, you could have 12-minute quarters if you had stop time. And then what you could call it really and what you're talking about, John, and what you're promoting is real time. In other words, let's really play clocks running instead of let's, you know, have the referees talk during the clock running.
Right. But you know what, Frank? They are playing in real time except for those moments. And those moments are a lot. Because there's a lot of first downs.
Yeah.
You know, they move the ball in order to get the – so there's a lot of – I mean, if you count all the minutes that are wasted to set up on a first down, it's unbelievable. At least – I would say at least 2.5, 3 minutes out of the 15-minute quarter that gets wasted on the setup. which, you know, if now, if they had it, we could have seen at least another additional 6 to 9 minutes of real action play rather than moving the ball. You know, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit on the numbers, but, you know, 10 seconds in a football game is a down, and you can do a lot with 10 seconds. You can get a touchdown.
But then
well,
the teams that like to run down the clock as part of their strategy would then see that as an impediment.
No, not really. It wouldn't be as easy, but it wouldn't be. It would be an impediment, yes, but I don't think it would be that big a deal because Aaron, you got in the American style football, you have four downs.
Yeah.
So
and it adds
if
another
you're
equation.
Ball,
it adds another equation to the coaching strategies. You know what I mean? They have to manage the clock. You know, we always hear that phrase, right? So it's like I said. I don't like that part of it. And tonight, this is where I wish I wouldn't have. I wish they would have had that because we would have seen maybe a possible, maybe a bigger blow up. But I think, you know, I wanted to see a little bit of a comeback in the second half, guys. I wanted Seattle to win. I had Seattle win, and I'm glad they won. But I don't know. It makes me sick. Sorry.
Hoping for a nice even 50. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Well, 48-3 is good enough. I think that's good enough. I think you should be happy with the fact that they hit 48. Well, you know, the other thing is how long it takes to play the Super Bowl game. It took around almost 4 hours, right? That's throwing in the national anthem.
Yeah,
like about
three and a half hours.
It was, and that's why. Yeah, can you imagine? That's to put the conversation into where you're talking about. We're talking about a game that's 60 minutes, you know, four 15-minute quarters, takes, you know, almost 4 hours to play.
But I have to justify
that. And
that's
how many commercials they throw in there.
True, but you know what? Honestly, I'm not blaming that part of it. I wouldn't even blame it if it was 4.5 or 5 hours. Let me tell you why. When you pay big money to go to a Grey Cup game, or a Super Bowl game.
Or any game like that, yeah.
Any game like that, you want to get the environment, you know, the feeling, the whole package, and you don't want it to end within 2-3 hours. Like in soccer, I think they get ripped off, you know, especially in championships. You know, boom, 45 minutes each side, bam, you're done, hour and a half, gone. So you just pay.
Well, they do
have
the injury time thing. They do have.
Oh, you're right, and there could be a lot of acting in those, right? So, but you know what I'm saying? If it's 4 hours and it's a big game like that, you want it to feel like an event. You don't want it to be rushed out of there. I don't mind those games that are long. If you're there, remember, we're talking about people who are going. They don't mind so much, I don't think. No one's in a rush to leave the stadium. And if you watch TSN right now, they're still in the stadium. So it's a good thing on championships. On regular games, this would be crazy. You know, this would be ludicrous if it was a regular season game. That's my.
So we've come up with two or three things. I said the fair catch. John, you said the clock. Did you say two things?
Yeah, the clock, and I agree with you on the fair catch.
And what was the other? Did you say something else?
No, I think I just.
Aaron,
really liked
Mike,
the fair
you guys
catch.
Got a rule or a play that. That the NFL has that, or something to improve the game.
Take out TV timeout.
You know what? My thing is
okay, TV timeouts for Aaron
on the was it the 20 or the 15 for the kickoffs? Man, I want to see more run backs, man. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wasn't that disgusting?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. The NFL, I think that is way behind the CFL. Behind the CFL. We do what we can to promote the receiver of the ball to run, like John said about the 5 yard. Thing that we have up here, you know, that we tell the runner, look, we're going to give you 5 yards. Do you feel like running? The guy's going to say, sure. You know what I mean? You know, do you feel like running when you catch the ball and there's going to be a guy hitting you as you're catching it? Of course he's going to go fair catch. I mean, you know, so yeah, that's a simple solution there as well. And as far as I'm concerned, this point business, this extra point, all they have to do for the extra point is move it out to like about the 20, the 20, and make it like a 30-yard field goal. And that 30-yard field goal, I think you would see more two-point tries if it was back that far.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And maybe that's all they need to do. I don't want to see them take the kicking out of the game because, you know, the point after it, to me, it's a historical thing. It's a thing that I truly, you know, it's the period at the end of the sentence. You know what I mean? You know it's a touchdown when they kick the convert. You know what I mean? It's a 7 point.
I think Mike's got a good one there. I think you can make that actually happen if you enforce it with common sense, meaning that you make the kicker perform, meaning if he kicks it through the end zone, it's a 10-yard penalty. The ball will
against
be started off
team.
Against the kicking team. Right.
Against the kicking team, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So
they have to keep it in play.
They have to keep it in play. So if he's a real good foot, he'll put it right in the corner and keep
right.
it in play where the angle is low or put it really high up. You know what I mean? But I also think that, you know, why do they have to start off with a ground kickoff, you know? Start off with a punt, hang time. Give them the 5 yards, you know, 5-yard exclusion rule. They have to catch it, no fair catch, and make it exciting. So the guys can get downfield. There's hang time. If he puts it through the end zone, there's a penalty, so he's got to angle it right. Because you know what? When the punters punt and they want to strategize to get good field position by putting him on a 2-yard line, don't you like those plays? Don't we give him a high five, and don't they all pat him when he gets the right down on the 1-yard line?
Yeah, it's a play. Because it's a play.
Exactly, Frank.
It's a freaking play.
And right
I'm
going to
commit heresy
no
right
play.
Now, guys.
Huh?
I'm going to commit heresy. I'm going to say I actually think the XFL had a halfway decent idea with their scramble.
The suicide start. The suicide start was literally, guys, I know it's exciting. I got you there, Aaron. I get it. But literally, it was a suicide. They had too many players.
It was horrible for the players involved.
It was nuts.
But it sure looked like fun, yes.
I mean,
y'all know what? And the thing about that is, sorry, John, that thing that you mentioned about the XFL doing the scramble is very funny because it's a team now in the indoor league that picked up that same rule. They're not doing kickoffs. They're doing the scramble.
No kidding.
Kid you not.
You know what? In the indoor league, I can see it not as being a health hazard. You don't have a 20-yard run-up. You know what I mean? Here they had the fastest sprinters. You know, the fastest sprinters. And it's not as if it's 10 yards and you're trying to get it. They let them 35. They start from the 30, and the first one to get there to get possession of it gets the ball, and they start from there. I mean, when you're picking up that much speed, and these are the fastest guys, right? Because they get there. So what happens when they do get there? The two fastest, there's a lot of force. And from what I heard, there was a lot of injuries on those plays. But it was exciting, though.
The whole thing about the NFL, though, they've got this, they won't call something like that because, as you know, they just signed a settlement with the former players, you know, with concussions and stuff. So they're very aware. The owners are aware. The players are aware. Everybody's aware that, you know, people get hurt. And no one should be able to get hurt unnecessarily, whatever that means. So, yeah. So, and some people said that's why the extra point is becoming a problem, because there's no point doing it. Guys are really killing themselves for this point, I guess. I don't know.
And with the NFL, if you look at the kickoffs, when they do the kickoffs, it been more touchbacks more than runbacks.
Absolutely.
If you watch all the games. And, you know, that gets kind of boring after a while, man.
Not only that, Mike, don't you think also because there's less runbacks, the specialty team doesn't have the practice and or the practical knowledge of what a runback, you know, how to stop a runback because they don't do it often in game time situations.
Right, right.
You know, I think that's why that ball was run back because they were kicking it through the end zone and then there's nothing happens and it's ridiculous, you know. We want to see more plays. Sorry, Mike, I cut you up. I really wanted, because what you said, it made so much sense.
No, you're off right, Frank. You basically finished what I was going to say. I just, you want to see more plays.
That's it.
If you can't practice defense on a run back, you're not going to know how to defend it, and that guy's gone.
And you know what? I don't think there's a better play in football than a kick return.
Well,
it's more exciting than a kick return. What's more exciting than a kick return?
I like a good run, the middle, open hole, a couple of good blocks, zigzag. Those are good, pretty good because they last long. A kicking is equal to that because it's a longer play. You know, there's a longer distance to go. I prefer a good run up the middle. You know, 20, 30 yards gets everybody pumped even better for a touchdown. But of course, a punt return, 70, 80-yard return, you get more time to cheer, a build-up, you know, adrenaline rush. People stand up off their feet as they get closer.
I equally see a great catch in the same category. See, the way I see it is that there are lots of plays in football that are equal. For different reasons, people might like them more, but for me, they're all equal. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't say a run back for a TD, all right, a run back for a TD is any better than a pick six, you know, or any better than one of those one-handed receptions. They're all great, you know, and that,
you know,
and any time to eliminate any of them, it takes a little bit away from the game, in my opinion.
But do you know what the difference is, Frank? The difference is that there's more cheering time in a return than there is a real quick catch, you know.
Well, because it's more of a surprise.
That too.
That's why a pick six is so, like, a pick six gets so many people so excited, because it's a momentum changer. And nothing would change a momentum better than a kick return that goes for, you know, the possibility. Sorry, let me try that again. The possibility of a kick return is far more exciting than just, okay, we'll catch the ball, let's walk the ball up to the 20. There's a lot to be said for kick returns. There's a lot to be said for incredible receptions. And then defensive plays, like we saw today in that game. There's lots of things that are just as equal, but, you know, why eliminate any of those great plays? That's the part I don't understand. So make more of them. Make more of them.
I don't know why they're beefing on the extra point. I mean, I know. I'm getting an idea why, but I don't think people are going to agree with me on it.
What's the reason?
You want
to get rid of kickers?
No. It all has to do with numbers. It has to do with prediction of the outcome and the totals, and the 1 point screws it up. The 1 point throws off too many over-unders, and it gives the opportunity of changing it from an automatic 7 points to maybe 6 or 8, which screws things up. And if you have a few attempts that don't go through on the extra point, then these predictions that these guys put in, you know, their odds makers and their, what are they called, the handicappers?
Yeah.
They do a formula, you know, comparison to player to player and receiver, all those statistics, and then they put down there should be 3 touchdowns. Well, then with the 3 touchdowns, they have a total, 21 points. Well, with this extra point thing, it throws them off, and they lose money, I guess. Why would Goodell
rather have 18 than 21?
Rather have a 21 even rather than giving it a chance of having an 18. You know, but
or having a 20 anyway. Yeah, or having a 20.
Yeah, they just want to give you a smaller
number. In other words,
okay,
I understand what you're saying. You're saying any time a point is lost, it screws the calculation up.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay.
They figure it's a ridiculous thing to have, because remember, I totally believe that the NFL is 100% in cahoots with the gambling world. We noticed that, Frank, in that referee strike, that they made them all come back because the gambling world, the money world, talked, and they pushed it here. Why is he bringing the extra point? All these other things that we just mentioned, great ideas everybody mentioned.
More obvious. It would have an actual impact on the game as far as it being attractive.
Exactly. So tell me this. Tell me it's not the numbers. And it's not the betting
probably
world.
Is. Let's try it a different way, John. Let's try your theory a different way, and here's how we'll try it. Are two field goals equal to a touchdown, an unconverted touchdown, remember? Are two field goals worth an unconverted touchdown?
What
I'm saying?
Where did they come up with three? You know, where did they come up with three? And now, obviously, that was many, many years ago. You know, we never really looked into it, and I wonder if Aaron could look into it, where the research of the numerical implementation was put in, meaning that who figured out it would be 6 and 1 extra point.
I think somebody mentioned in the last show that it had to do with rugby, and that point.
Oh, good point.
That rugby,
yeah,
that rugby
could be.
Right? That rugby did.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. It could be. Actually, you know what? Perhaps. And then again, we can ask, where did rugby get it? Why don't we just do like the goals? You know, 1 goal, 2 goal, 3 goal, 1 touchdown. You know, again, maybe they must have been gambling back in those days, because I can't see it adding up in any other way than, you know, if you score a point, it's a point. If you score a goal in hockey, it's a goal. It's not a goal and a half. It's not two if it, if it, it's not it's not
well,
two
all,
goals if it is
that.
The crossbar
in,
goes
in.
In
hockey, they're getting antsy about the point for losing, and the difference between losing and winning is 1 point. It's like losing is worth half as much as winning, which doesn't seem to make sense.
Well, it's better than the alternative of what it used to be years ago, where they just end the game and they go home tied. I hated that at the Garden.
No, I get that. My thing is that what should happen, it should be, if you win in regulation, you get 3 points. If you win because you were tied at regulation and you win whether you win in overtime or whether you win in a shootout, you get 2 points and the other team gets 1 point. There should be a reward for beating a team in regulation, in my opinion, because I don't think a win in regulation should be equal to a win in overtime.
No, and the problem that you have with a win in that situation is teams play for the tie.
And that's
then
what
try
happens.
To win in the
They're
shootout.
Beginning to realize that because they get a point for sure, right? So now what happens is, and as lovely as they'd like to say it, the league is very tight, right? Because what happens is, The winning a game isn't putting you ahead of anybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Winning doesn't get you anything anymore in hockey. It just doesn't. It doesn't separate you from the other team. So if you win in regulation, right, you should get 3 points. They've established that there's 3 points possible. Why is there 3 points when nobody wins and 2 points when somebody does? It doesn't seem right to me.
Okay, so I have some information here about the scoring. You're asking about that. Back in the 19th century, there were a couple different versions of rugby played in the States. And Walter Camp, who many consider to be the father of modern football, started a point system. Now, according to this point system, field goals earned 5 points, safeties earned 1, touchdowns earned 2, and goals scored after a touchdown earned 4 points. Now, rugby basically derived from soccer. And football derived from rugby. Points made by kicking in a goal were considered greater value than points scored by running the ball in. So recognition existed that goals in a row were hard to achieve, so you kind of awarded those accordingly. Now, the rules were actually revamped. In 1897, field goals were only worth 3 points, but then those rules were changed again in 1912. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So I guess we can safely say that we're a long way away from that, Aaron. We're a long way away from that point in the history.
We are, but the thing is 101 years ago the rules were 3 points for a field goal, 6 points for a touchdown, and a kick afterwards for an extra point.
There you go. And that's what it is.
The only other system that was added since 1912 was the 2-point conversion.
Right, where
yeah.
you try
yeah.
for the 2-point conversion, yes.
Basically,
good.
The rules have stagnated for the past 100 years.
And the game has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And the players have changed and everything else has changed. And the field is still the same as it was back 100 years ago?
Pretty much.
Yep. Yeah.
The dimensions haven't changed that much.
All right. So, you know, maybe it's time for some change.
I think they moved the goalposts. They used to be on the goal
they
line.
They used to be just like in the CFL.
Right.
Well, not
right.
on the goal line, but back a little
no,
bit.
No, behind, like a yard
just
and a half or something.
They just, that's not long that they've done that, John? I don't think. Because I look at it now and I go, God, when did they do that? Because every time I watch a football game now, I don't remember when they did it.
I don't think it was before the Steeler Bradshaw or Dolphin Marino days. I'm pretty sure it was way before
that.
No, because
I can remember, more than once in some of the past plays where the goalposts had an impact.
Has made
yeah.
And I mean that, and that's impact. I had to choose that word. I'm sorry.
You know, I got to say something about that. You know, it is an odd thing to have them there, right on the, in the CFL, just a yard or two back, because technically, they shouldn't be anywhere on the field. It's an obstruction.
Yeah, but we can't really call it a field goal if it's not on the field.
Well, it's part of the field, so you can. It's
well, the way they have it
the
now,
field.
Aaron, is much better. The way they have it now is much better. It makes sense. Don't put it in the way. And especially for them, John, because they only got 10 yards back there to do what they're going to do.
Well, that too. But it shouldn't be. There shouldn't be any metals. There shouldn't be a post coming out of the ground somewhere. That's the thing with the CFL. If they moved that, I wouldn't be too sad about it. But that's a pretty far kick then, 25 yards past the goal line. So
yeah, well,
that'll be interesting. Try to get a field goal
why
now.
Not? Yeah, well, but John, they can. They got guys even with that the goalpost there. What's his name? I think was in the NFC. I'm trying to remember which player. It doesn't matter. Was kicking 60-yard field goals with that goalpost back 10 yards.
Yeah.
Is getting better and better. So what do you got to do? You got to make it more of a challenge.
But no, don't get rid of the extra point. Keep that. I mean, I don't think they should get rid of it.
If they're really unhappy with the extra point, John, if they're really you know how they can make it less physical, because that's what they're worried about is the activity inside, because it's so close to the goal line. If they do move the ball out and there's some fear of a pass, that'll create less trench work and more, more defensive posture.
I hate that part, Frank. I hate that excuse because the part where, they're saying that there's a physical
part. It's automatic.
It's
the fact that it's automatic, John. That's what they're complaining about.
The most important part of the game happens in the front lines, and that's with the big guys.
I get it. I agree with you, John, but here's the problem. Again, we got to remember that the almighty legal system has now penetrated the NFL and it will about to penetrate the NHL, where leagues have a responsibility to not allow guys to get hurt, knowing that they can get hurt because of the way they play the game. I hope I said that right. I'm not a lawyer, but at the end of the day, if you're putting your people in unnecessary danger, where you're going from freak happenstance causing an injury to almost it being planned, like in the NHL with fighting, and that's what's going to come out, is that fighting is in my opinion, as the rule is to knock a guy out in boxing, the objective is to give the guy a concussion, because that's what knocking him out is. Knocking him out is a concussion. So, we're becoming a society that in some ways, doesn't want this kind of violent sport to exist. And I think boxing has been really pummeled a little bit, if I can use that term. And I think it'll happen soon for, football and hockey, where some of the pugilistic stuff, the fighting in hockey, and it's already happened in the NFL, John. They're not going after guys' heads as much. I mean, I saw some, and the good news is there were some devastating hits today, and none of them were involving helmet-to-helmet activity. Seattle proved that today, that you can hit hard and hit and cause pain, and do it legally without, causing a concussion.
No doubt.
And I think that's important. The health of the players has to be worth something. These guys, may make millions of dollars, but a lot of them don't spend a very healthy 40 or 50. God forbid, some of them don't even make it to 60,
Big price to pay for the limelight and the short careers. Big price, I get sore after a big long bike ride or whatever, and I don't know what it would be like to get smashed up like they do, and the hits, and it's a big price to pay, but God blesses them with the talent,
and it's worth
they're something. Entertainers.
Now, having said that, there are a lot of people who work in other kinds of jobs, like miners, and you can keep going on and on and on and on and
good
on.
Enough.
That spend their lives almost regretting, if they're alive too, regretting what they did. But anyway, I think I didn't regret doing the show. John, thanks again for being a big part of it. And Mike had to go, whether it was intentional or accidental, I don't know. It doesn't matter. He was gone. And Aaron, it was fun getting your input as usual with statistical information that is always necessary in a program when we start talking about stuff we're not 100% sure of.
I know. That was good, Aaron. I like that when you come up with stuff like that with the points thing. It's great to have insight like that. Thanks.
No, don't worry. Thank you for having me on.
It's important to have a Google head in the room.
Well, he's definitely a good Google head, let me tell you. All right, guys, good night. Have a good one.
Yeah.
All right? Take care.
And, Aaron, maybe for Christmas next year I'll buy you Google glasses.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
All right, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Aaron, John, and of course, I tried to get Christopher Jones in here, but something was wrong with his phone. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Frank Sinisius, Blog Talk Radio, and, well, this has been our one and only Super Bowl show. Thanks for tuning in.